Grace, mercy, and peace be to you on this Christmas Eve from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and our Heavenly Father. Amen. Well, we have followed quite a historical account in the readings that we have heard as God continues to preserve his living word, and he promises that his word stands forever. It will never change, and these words are absolutely trustworthy. And because of this, we come here this evening with great joy, knowing how great God's love truly is for us. But I'd like us to go back to that little village of Bethlehem this evening and to see this humble woman, Mary, and to just contemplate the words, her response, if you will, after this child was born. We hear these incredible words, and this is a continuance of the account after we heard about the shepherds. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Can you imagine being Mary, just giving birth to this child? And we see that she's just finally just taken it all in a quiet place. You know, we live in a very noisy world. Would you agree with me? It's pretty hard to find silence in the times in which we live. And not only is it noisy, but it's a very busy culture that we live in. People are running here and there and everywhere, and I would imagine some were running to church this evening after you're trying to get those final plans done before the big family events, the dinners, and all the traditions that we look forward to. But how often do we just have some quiet time? I think we all need to take a big breath. Just take in a big breath. Doesn't that feel good? And let's just have a moment of silence. Just see how quiet it can be. Incredible, there wasn't a phone that made a sound. You know, our phones, we have those things with us all the time, right? There's never silence, but boy, that was a nice moment. You know, it reminds me of years ago, before phones, living out on the prairie and having a lot of cattle in the wintertime and going out and feeding those cattle in a snowstorm. And sometimes it could be blizzard conditions. It would be even dark in the early evening this time of the year. But as a child, I just relished the silence. Sure, there was the wind. You could hear the breeze blowing. But it was so quiet. It was so peaceful. And if we got into trouble in the storm, we didn't have a phone. We didn't have a radio that we could call on. But there was a real blessing in that, the quietness. I really miss that. Well, Mary finally was blessed to have some time to ponder. And she needed it. My goodness, the things that Mary had gone through for the last 9 months prior to the birth of this precious child in her womb. And we know that, she was engaged first. She was betrothed to Joseph, so she had this exciting time going on in her life. And of course, back then, to be betrothed, which is kind of like being engaged today, but it was binding like marriage, except there were no sexual relations that went on during this time of betrothal. And so Mary's excited. She's found this man that she loves, and they have this wonderful close relationship with one another, and soon they're going to be married. And then the angel Gabriel shows up. And Gabriel announces to Mary that you're going to be with child. And Mary's like, well, this can't be because I'm not married. And then Gabriel explains to her, doesn't he, as we've heard those wonderful words in reading from him as God sent this incredible angel to her. And he says, you will bear a son. And then Gabriel goes on to describe to Mary what kind of a conception this is going to be. She, a virgin, has never known a man in this way, but this child is not going to be conceived by man. It's going to be conceived by God. That's an incredible event. And you know, we see Mary's faith, that she accepted this message. She trusted Gabriel. She trusted God's word communicated through this angel. And she said, "Let this be done to me." Do you understand how serious that was for Mary in the culture of the day? To be pregnant outside of marriage, you could be put to death for that. And if that's not bad enough, just the shame and the embarrassment, you can imagine the hecklers around Mary. "Oh, look at her. You know, she should be dead. She's pregnant outside of marriage." It was not an easy time for Mary. It must have been a very stressful time in her life. And then, as if to add insult to injury, so she's, you know, we don't know how close to giving birth, but it must have been fairly close. And then we have the government step in. And they say, "We need to collect more taxes. And so we're going to have a census. And so the requirements by law with this census is you have to go to your hometown." Well, Joseph and Mary connected to David. David born in David's hometown, Bethlehem. And so they had to travel from Nazareth, where they were living up north, and go to Bethlehem. You know, one time I figured this out. Just, it's different elevations, but it's the same, almost the same elevation gain and distance as though you were walking from Denver International Airport to Estes Park. Now, as a guy, I don't know what pregnancy is like, but the women in the crowd, would you want to hop on a donkey or walk when you're close to giving birth and say, "Oh yeah, let's go up to Bethlehem. That's a great idea." They wouldn't have done that because it was so inconvenient with the time that they were at and where Mary was in her pregnancy. They would not go, except God uses the secular government to direct the fulfillment of the prophecies that he had given. You may want to look at this over Christmas. The prophet Micah, 700 years. Can you imagine this? He lived 700 years before Jesus was born. And through Micah, God prophesied that his son would be born in Bethlehem. And what do we say about God's word? It doesn't change. It stands forever. And so God had determined that this is where Jesus would be born, and he used a secular government decree in order to direct this event to happen. We may want to open our eyes and ask ourselves today, you know, what is God doing when we see different governmental actions going on? Could God be working in any of those things? Well, so they go to Bethlehem, and that's certainly not an easy journey, as we've talked about. And then they get there, and as a woman that's near term in her pregnancy, probably be nice to have a good bed, right? Have a nice roof over your head, be able to stay in one of the motels, the inns in Bethlehem. And they get there, and what's the problem? There's nowhere to stay. And so Mary ends up in a stable with the animals ready to give birth to this child in her womb. Bethlehem, the city of David. And, you know, we heard the prophecy from Isaiah. The branch, the root, or the shoot from the stump of Jesse, right? It's interesting how God directed Isaiah to speak of Jesse there instead of David, because remember, Jesse is David's father. And so Jesus is looked upon as the new David. And I believe God is really emphasizing that there through Isaiah in this prophecy. And Isaiah also 700 years before Jesus comes. And we're hearing all of these details about this child to be born. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, we hear. He will judge with righteousness, and he will establish perfect peace. And Jesus is born. And he's born in Bethlehem, but it's not a very large group that there's to welcome him, right? We don't see the whole world flocking to Bethlehem and announcing, look at this incredible thing that has happened. No, it wasn't a very big welcome, hardly one at all. They wouldn't even allow them to stay in one of the buildings, the structures that were there. They had to be in the stable. Not really good hospitality. But you know, that really causes me to think as we treasure and ponder with Mary this evening, I mean, here is the Son of God, the most incredible child to ever be born, who will ever be born on the face of the earth. And it's not a very hospitable world receiving him. But that begs the question tonight, has anything changed? How open is your heart this evening to receive Jesus? How open is your home to allow Jesus to dwell with you? And sadly, in America, we see that the malls are packed. People are running here and there and everywhere. If you want to find the masses, go to the malls. If you want to find small groups of people gathered, come to sanctuaries. It's our culture. And yet, the most incredible event that has ever taken place. As we ponder. And then there was that first public announcement. And you know, you'd think that would go to some really elite people. Maybe they'd go up to Jerusalem where the leaders of the church were, you know, and where the political leaders were based as well. And they would go, hey, do you know what happened in Bethlehem? But no, where do the angels go? Hey, it's kind of like me out there with the cattle. Except it's the shepherds with the sheep. Most people didn't even know who these shepherds were. And shepherds were not exactly the people you wanted to be around. They weren't the most popular. And they kind of stunk. They didn't get bathed very often. They're not the kind of people you would probably invite into a palace. But God chooses to make the announcement to them. And it's really cool. God says, to you is born. Did you hear it in Isaiah earlier? 700 years prior, we hear these words, to us a child is born. It's as though it's already happened, but that's how God's prophecy is. When God determines he's doing something, it will happen, no question about it. And Isaiah spoke it in the presence as though it had already happened. To us a child is born, and now the angels get to announce the fulfillment. To you is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. The whole world ought to be celebrating. And yet, the majority of the world rejects Christ. The majority would say we're absolutely foolish for believing what we believe. And the world is still today very unwelcoming. But the shepherds, they listened. These lowly shepherds. And the angel said, this will be a sign for you. Go into Bethlehem. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And they go. And they share the good news. Now imagine Mary and Joseph being there. And they're hearing this. And before they even went into Bethlehem, though, there was the multitude of angels, weren't there? So not only the one angel spoke, the angel of the Lord, but then the multitude, and we hear that they praise God, and they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Wow, what an announcement to these pesky shepherds. And they were low in numbers, kind of the first Christmas service, if you will. Not many there attending. There wasn't a lot of glitz and glamour. There was no pomp and circumstance. There weren't professional orchestras. But the focus was where the focus needed to be. It's on that little babe born in Bethlehem. And so they go. They check it out. They find Jesus. They find Mary and Joseph. And in this little village, they're going around telling everybody what has happened. Can you imagine? Of all the people in the world, they're probably pretty introverted, those shepherds. They're away from people most of the time. And yet God chooses them to be the first missionaries, if you will, to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we hear that they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And then we get back to Mary. Can you imagine how it was for her? Boy, this journey's over. Kind of getting used to the stable. It's not so bad. Child is born, and I'm just holding this child. Oh, I wished I could see Mary's face, don't you? And she's treasuring it all up in her heart. She's just pondering in the moment. She's getting that quiet time without all the disruptions. And then to hear those shepherds come and announce what was announced to them, what a reaffirmation for Mary to know, wow, this is just what God promised. You know, a beautiful, beautiful contemporary song by Francesca Battistelli. Did I pronounce that right? I have trouble with her name. But it's You're Here. If you haven't heard it, YouTube it. It's just titled You're, and you got it Y-O-U-R-E, You're Here. But here's some of the lyrics of her song, and I think it so beautifully portrays what Mary was pondering in her heart and what you and I really should be pondering as well. I don't know what to say when I look into your eyes. And by the way, I'm breaking this up. I didn't put everything in. I don't know what to say when I look into your eyes. So it's Mary looking at Jesus, her baby Jesus. You made the world before I was born. Here I am holding you in my arms tonight, Jesus, our Emmanuel. I'm staring into the face of my Savior, King, and Creator. You could have left us on our own, but you're here. I look at your hand, they're still so small. Someday you're going to stretch them out and save us all. God with us, Emmanuel. Incredible. A humble woman, Mary, holding her baby in a humble stable in a humble town, unknown to virtually all the world, even nearby the center of Judaism, in Jerusalem, let alone the world. And so tonight, I'm so blessed that you were able to come. Just to take time out of all the busyness and the noise, and that we can be a little bit like Mary, maybe. And that we can just, for a moment, treasure and ponder the incredible thing God has done. And you may want to pull your bulletins out sometime this week, and maybe tomorrow, just talk about. It's a beautiful laid-out historical account of sin and salvation from the very time when sin came into the world, from our first parents, Adam and Eve, and the promise immediately that God gives, seed of the woman. And that seed is baby Jesus. And through your seed, God says to Abraham, all the nations on the earth will be blessed. And the Apostle Paul, I love it, God gives commentary on his own word in Galatians. He says, by the way, that seed of all nations, it's singular. God tells us that. He wants us to know that. It's speaking of the Christ child. Isaiah describes him as a great light for people who walked in darkness. A child is born, a son is given, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is this little baby. As Mary ponders and treasures, we do the same because it's incredible who this child is. And his kingdom is ruled with perfect justice and righteousness. We need that, don't we, in light of the world today? And Mary and Joseph needed it then. And then the angel Gabriel, you just see the pouring out of all these descriptives of Jesus. His name is Jesus, and by the way, Jesus means Savior. He will be called the Son of God, the Most High. He will be called the Son of God. And angels to the shepherds, Savior, and Christ the Lord. And what's most incredible of all is God didn't have to do this. From the time Adam and Eve sinned, God could have said, you messed up. You knew. I warned you what would happen. And now you're just going to have to live with it and die with it. And as Francesca says in her song, you could have left us on our own. But you're here. Emmanuel. God steps into our world. God steps into our lives. God steps into your life for the purpose of giving you new life. And as we see our manger scene, we know that little babe in Bethlehem one day would be the one with his arms extended on that cross, dying for the sins of all people, including yours and mine. And we are blessed to live in the history of that event too. And so tonight, I hope that we can leave as the shepherds did. They went back to their flocks. They didn't leave their former way of life go and forget that. They went back to their world where they are. But oh, they were so different. Because now they're praising and they're glorifying God. And that's what you and I are honored to do as well. May God bless you and me in this continued journey. And I'd like to close with a prayer, a beautiful Christmas card Lindy and I received. And there's a prayer on the front of the card, and it's so appropriate for tonight. It's a Christmas prayer, and let us pray. Oh, dear Lord, please help us to listen like the shepherds, to rejoice like the angels, to seek like the wise men. We're going to hear about them in a moment. To believe like Mary and Joseph, and to live all year long with the peace, joy, and love that Christ came to give. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds, like those shepherds, like Mary and Joseph, focused upon Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.